Good to see each and every one of you. And I'm going to go ahead and click to this slide because we've got some that I think are trying to catch up and fill up that calendar a little bit as well as I do a little bit of my introduction and so forth. But it's good to see each and every one of you. Glad you're here and able to be here. And, you know, just like Terrence said, we've got a good number tonight, and that's very encouraging. Here a couple weeks ago, we had about 10. One Sunday night, and it was very saddening to see all of that, as low as it was. But what we started last Sunday was the Passover feast. We talked about Wednesday, there really being nothing recorded on Wednesday at all. If you take and you're going through and you're following through, we have, you know, there on Tuesday night, long hard day on Jesus on Tuesday evening going into night. Him and his apostles had separated over to the Mount of Olives. They had a discussion there about the destruction of Jerusalem and the end of time. And then they went on to Bethany, and Judas headed back into Jerusalem to start the betrayal process. And then there's nothing. There's just absolutely nothing brought up on Wednesday. Most think, and I do agree, that they just stayed at Bethany. Jesus was traveling back to Bethany to stay with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus anyhow. You know, he really had a heartfelt connection with that family. And then Thursday, we really start on Thursday even, with him sending, two of his apostles out to go get the Passover feast prepared. And that would have been toward the middle end of the day. So there's a chunk of Thursday that we have nothing really recorded on. But Thursday evening, coming toward the Passover feast beginning here about sundown, somewhere in that range, we picked up with our study, and we talked about the preparation of the Lord's Supper, and how we really need all four Gospels to really get the whole picture of this Passover feast and everything that Jesus had to tell them this night, this Thursday night. And we even talked about the difference in there were two apostles, who they were, what they were to see, who they would find, what the man was carrying, and everything. And then we went into detail about exactly what would be, there at the feast so we could truly understand the Lord's Supper. And then at the end of that lesson, we talked about his institution of that supper. And, how he had a great desire, he said, to eat this with them. They did not understand. And we need to keep that in mind as we go into tonight's lesson. They fully did not understand that he is saying, time is up. My time is coming short. They have no idea of the time frame here. Jesus knows fully what's going to happen over the next 2 days here, or next day, really. He knows everything is going to happen. They have no clue. They have no clue that it's the end of all of his time here with them in that sense. They have no clue. And keep that in mind, like I said, as we start tonight's lesson, because on tonight's lesson, here at the end of eating the feast, the main part of the meal, the sitting, the discussion, he's instituted the Lord's Supper, and they're just sort of sitting there talking. It's a time for families to get together or close neighbors to join together to remember what the Lord did. So they're just sort of sitting there, and one of the things that comes up is strife. If you take back everything that I talked about last week on this, and Jesus being so heartfelt in that idea that I had such a desire to eat this with you, and him knowing what's about to happen, and really looking at them, and knowing, that he's about to leave them, the emotion that he's feeling. And then here, there's strife among the apostles. And we're going to look at what the strife is over. And to me, it seems such a foolish thing at this time frame. But remember, they do not understand the following events that's going to happen. Jesus does. They do not. They're just sitting here. They're eating. They're having a good time. And this strife comes up. All right. So the passages, for those that might be listening to the recording, is Luke 22, 24 through 30. And then we got John 13, 1 through 17 in the long run. Now, in Luke 22, verse 24, it says, "And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest." Like I said, to me that seems so foolish when we can take in the whole picture. When we understand why Jesus said what he said and what's getting ready to happen, you know, all these events that we're going to look at over the next month or so, this seems like such a foolish thing that's happening right now. But here they are. They're arguing among themselves over who's going to be accounted the greatest in the kingdom. Really, is what they're saying. This is the king, you know, and I mean, this is the mindset of the Jews, right? We're going to put him on a throne. His apostles, they're not immune to that. You know, that's what they've been taught. That's what they've grown up with. And here they are arguing, well, which of us is going to be like under him? Who's going to be, you know, like the top dogs, like his generals, or like, you know, the high priest and then the priest? You know, that's what they're thinking, because that's all they know. That's the Jewish hierarchy. That's their culture. That's what they know. And here they're arguing, well, I'm better than you. I've done this, or he's taking me over here. Or couldn't you see Peter saying, you know, well, I walked out on the water to him. You know, I mean, couldn't you see that? Or you see like Peter and James and John, you know, listing, you know, well, you know, he only took me to this and he only took us to that. You know, they're sitting there arguing about who's going to be the greatest. The Lord, you know, he's already in this sad emotional state. We need to realize this. You know, he knows that the time is running to an end. He's there with them. It's some of the really the last true night that he's getting to spend with them, this one-on-one in this sense before his death. John 13, and we're going to start reading a lot out of John. John's got a lot that the others do not have after this. John 13, let's look at verses 4 through 5. Now, some of these discussions and stuff, I'm not sure exactly in which order is perfect, because we're not told that, we're not shown that. But I'm just trying to piece them together in what I would see as the best order for him teaching and him demonstrating. So John 13, 4 and 5, he riseth from supper, laid aside his garments. Remember, there's outer garments, inner garments. And he took a towel, wrapped himself, girded himself, says, and after that he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. All right, so from this first instance, all right, he just gets up. Really seems like he doesn't say much. He gets up. And he starts into this process. Now, I'm jumping back to Luke 22. Just myself looking, you know, thinking this is where they're arguing. He gets up. He starts washing their feet. Or maybe he said this, then started washing their feet. I don't know. I can't say exactly this is the exact order for everything. And I'm not going to. But here in Luke 22, starting at 25, he saith unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exership lordship over them. And they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. And he that is chief as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So I took this as he starts washing their feet. He starts this discourse. So, you know, I think maybe they just overlapped. All right, he starts, he takes off his outer garments. He puts his towel around so he can dry them. And he starts washing his feet. Their feet, and then he starts this discourse with them. And pretty much what he's saying is, this is a foolish argument, but I understand. You know, you look out at these nations, you look at the hierarchy of these nations, I understand where you're getting that. But I want you to look at my example. You know that I am the chiefest, in a sense. You know that I was sent down from the Lord. But what am I doing right now? What am I doing? Am I taking and telling you to get up and serve me? Am I telling you to wash my feet? Am I telling you to get up and go gather up the dishes that are on the table and clean everything up, burn the leftover piece of the meat? Am I telling you that? No, he says, what am I doing? I'm serving you right now. I'm down here washing your feet. And he says, you need to look at yourselves. If you think you're the greatest, you need to become as the least. If you think, okay, well, I'm the oldest and I need to be treated with more respect because I'm oldest, you need to be like the younger. You need to get that out of your mind. You need to take and understand we're all servants in the kingdom of God. We've got work to do. And then he goes on to tell them that they do have a special place. They really do. We go to Revelations, we can pick that up as well. Talk about the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 apostles. They do have a special place. They really do. It says, you know, talking about in his kingdom, when it comes, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. But he also is going to tell them and has already told them that they're going to have to suffer a lot in his name in this kingdom as well. So yeah, will they have a place? Yeah, they will. Don't we talk about them all the time? Haven't I been sitting here mentioning their names? You know, they have a special place, no doubt. But what he's telling them is, you know, when you look at one another, don't think of yourself as better than somebody else. Think of yourself as a servant just as they are. And all of you work together serving in the kingdom. We can learn a whole lot from that today, couldn't we? Each and every one of us. If we come in this door thinking, what am I going to do to help my brothers and sisters tonight to be more faithful? Instead of coming in the door, I wonder who's going to talk to me tonight. I wonder who's going to shake my hand tonight. I wonder if someone's going to tell me how good a job I did singing tonight or how good a job I did with my lesson tonight. But if we come in the door saying, I'm going to take and make a difference in someone's life here tonight. I am going to take and make something better for them. My attitude, my actions, my words. You know, if we all treated each other as I am serving you, boy, wouldn't it be so much better in the kingdom? It would, wouldn't it? It really would. Continuing with this whole thing going on, Peter, hearing these words, you know, and he's probably one of the ones arguing. I would not doubt it. You know, I talked to being like Peter myself, got my foot in my mouth too often. John 13:6, then cometh he to Peter. So, you know, he's working his way through. He's talking about what's going on. He's got some more discourse to go here. And he comes to Peter. And Peter pretty much says, no, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. I mean, that's pretty much what Peter says. It ain't going to happen. You know, I'm not going to let you. I know you're better than me. I'm not going to let you happen. You know, that happened. So verse 6 of 13. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. So, you know, when we start looking at what Peter first said, I'm sure that Peter has got a good mindset and the ideal of, you know, I won't let you lower yourself below me. Peter's already had to be corrected multiple times by the Lord. Even we just mentioned him walking on water and the Lord helped me, you know, and had to pull him up, and then he was rebuked for that faith that he lost after he got out there. Peter's had to be reprimanded multiple times. We're going to look at it again here in this lesson. But, you know, good attitude to begin with, but Jesus actually goes on to tell him that, Peter, it needs to be done. I'm trying to teach you a lesson. If you're not going to let me teach you, then really, do you have a part with me? Because you're not learning, really. And that goes back to what he says. At the moment, you don't really understand what I'm doing, but you're going to. Now, you take and jump 2 days from now, and things are going to come flooding back to these apostles. Think about that. You know, the things that he's going to mention over the next few weeks we're going to study, the things that he brings up, the things that he discusses, all of this is going to come flooding back on them. It's just going to just feel like a ton of bricks on their head when they fully understand what he's talking about. The ideal of serving in the kingdom, him being gone, and them left in this position to take and serve, to go out and teach, to take and receive all the abuse that they've seen him receive, that's on them, and they're going to have to continue with that work. John 13, let's keep on going, 10 through 15 here. Jesus saith to him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean. Talking about the 12, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. You know, John's looking back when he's writing this. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them. So see, Jesus has got up. He's been discussing this. He gets up. He puts that outer garment on, sets back down at the table, and they start the conversation up again. So he says unto him, know ye what I have done to you? You know, the ideal of washing the feet. Do you know what I've really done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for I so am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, Ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. So this really should be the end of that conversation over who's the greatest, right? The Lord says, if there's anyone here really that deserves honor, it's me. And, you know, rightfully so. You would say, I am the master, because I am. But he says, look what I've done for you. He says, I've not stood here and said, all right, you serve me. He said, I've got down and I've served you. And that's an example to you how to treat one another. I asked Owen to sing the song, you know, about the angry words, you know, and let them never. And this isn't the exact location here where he starts that conversation, because he is going to start this up in John shortly here, where he discusses that he's leaving them. They sort of get the first understanding, you know, that, okay, it's happening. And one of the biggest things that he tells them is they have each other. But if they don't love one another, then really do they have the unity that they should? And the answer is no. If they're not willing to serve one another, are they unified in the work that he's going to give them to do? No, they're not going to be unified in that work. Why? Because they're quarreling over who's the greatest. Who's the greatest? Who did the most? Who helped Jesus the most? Who listened to what he said the most? Who remembered the most? Who did he take here? Who did he do that with? And then they're forgetting why he actually did all that with them. We get tied up in the same things today. The ideal of who could be the greatest. Who should be the most important? Who should get the most attention? Who should be mentioned the most? You know, we do that. And we forget why we even come together. We come together to worship the Lord and to serve one another. You know, I mentioned this a couple weeks ago when about our song services. You know, that the reason we come together for our song services isn't for entertainment, but it's to worship the Lord, to praise and give honor to his high and holy name. And then it's to admonish and strengthen one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We come together to serve each other in this. So even here, that's what he's getting the point across. You know, do you really understand what I've just done for you? I'm giving you an example on how to live your whole life, really. You live as a servant. You don't go around all puffed up like you see the priests and the high priests and the Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes and lawyers. You don't walk around like that. That's not those that are going to come into the kingdom of the Lord. Servants come into the kingdom of the Lord. Continuing in John 13, 16 through 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. He's sending them out, see. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. He says, I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it comes to pass, ye may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Notice he goes on to mention the one that's lifted up his heel. You know, the ideal of sort of like a mule kicking backwards in a sense. You know, the ideal of going against the grain. He's talking about Judas. He actually brings Judas up in the next part of this reading. I don't have this on the screen, so turn with me. I want to go to John 13. We're already reading there, but I want to read the whole passage here, 21 through 30. And it's easier to do that than it is to put it on multiple screens and click through it. John 13, we're going to look at verses 21 through 30 because he's continuing right on. You know, he talks about there's one that's putting his hand in the bread, eating with him. We've already talked about that last week. But now he's also kicking up his heel at Jesus. John 13, let's start at 21. When Jesus had said these things, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, most assuredly I say to you, one of you will betray me. Then the disciples looked at one another, perplexed about whom he spoke. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. And we would know by further, you know, study, this is John. That's how John refers to himself. You know, so it is John. John is sitting there leaning on the Lord's bosom. Simon Peter therefore motioned to him. So, I mean, you can picture this in your mind. They're all sitting there at the table, they're eating. You know, Jesus says, one of you, you know, is going to betray me. And Peter's on like one side or down the table. And he looks over at John and is like, you know, ask. You know, you're right there beside him, ask. So John is going to get ready to ask. Like I said, he looks at him, motions for him to take and speak. The disciple, let's see, Simon Peter, verse 24, motioned to him to ask who it was whom he spoke. Then leaning back on Jesus' breast, he said to him, Lord, who is this? So you can sort of see John sort of lean over, and he sort of tilts his head back and looks up at Jesus and says, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, it is he to whom I shall give a piece of bread when I have dipped it. And having dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now after the piece of bread, Satan entered him. Then Jesus said to him, what you do, do quickly. But no one at the table knew for what reason he said this to him. For some thought, because Judas had the money box, that Jesus had said to him, buy those things we need for the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. Having received the piece of bread, he then went out immediately, and it was night. All right, so that gives us the time frame of the day as well. See, this is after dark. It is night. So we're coming, you know, on into the night here on Thursday. But Judas takes the bread that Jesus said. He says, the one that I dipped this bread in hand to, he's the one that's going to betray me. And Judas takes that bread and walks out to go make it happen. And notice, though, you know, to me, this would have hurt so deep. What you do, do it quickly. You know, that's actually Jesus telling him, I understand everything that's in play already. Go ahead, get it started, because that just fulfills all the prophecies like it's supposed to. Go ahead and get it done. And Judas gets up and goes and does it. Now, the others there, they're a little confused, because they're thinking, well, maybe Jesus said what he said to get him to go take and pay for the meal, pay the man down, you know, on the lower floor, let's let him have it, or go on out and do something else as part of the work. But we, getting to look back, we understand that this was a one-on-one conversation with Judas. Judas, I know what you've already done. I know what they're waiting on right now. Go ahead and get it started. You know, and he ends up meeting them. You know, we understand this as we continue our story. Now Jesus is going to turn his attention to Peter. Remember, he says, not all of you need to hear this. But there's two individuals that Jesus needed to say something to individually. Judas was the first. Peter's the second. Let's continue with John 13, 31 through 38. So when he had gone out, talking about Judas, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him immediately. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. See, he's already starting to give them hints that it's really close. You will seek me. And as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. And you also love one another. The reason for the song. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake. Jesus answered him, will you lay down your life for my sake? It's a question. Will you do that? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times. Peter truly will lay down his life for the Lord. Peter refuses to be crucified like our Lord. He will suffer greatly. But Jesus is telling him about a temptation that is coming upon him. And he says, will you really? He says, I'm going to tell you though that before that happens, before the cock crows this morning, you're going to deny me three times. Really what he's saying is there's going to be a big trial, Peter. It's really going to test you to see if you're willing to lay down your life or not. It's a turning point in your life, Peter. You need to realize this. Are you going to or are you not? In conclusion for tonight's lesson, because we got quite a bit more. They're going to get ready to get up and they're going to travel. They're going to go to the garden. Jesus is going to pray. He's got quite a bit to tell them as they walk there. But here, coming to the close of this supper, We already brought this up last week. This is Jesus' final night with all of them together. Judas just left. That's breaking up already. But he wants to spend that with them. One of the big things that he teaches them in these last moments with them is humility. That's something we can all take to heart as well. Humility. Why Jesus has us on this earth. It is not to serve self. It is to serve Him, serve one another, and serve the lost and dying in this world. And to not think better of ourselves than them. We were lost at one time too. We're glad someone served us. Like I said, this very principle, it's a necessity to work in the Lord's kingdom. And that's what He told them. Yeah, you've got a place in my kingdom. It's going to be a lot of hardship, but that's the attitude you're going to have if you're going to work in that kingdom. If we're in that kingdom, we've got to have that attitude. He begins to instruct them on the events that are soon to occur. You know, like I said, you know, only a short time, he says, you've got me with you. They really are not picking that up yet, but that's what he's telling them. John 13:19, now I tell you before it come, that when it comes to pass, you may believe that I am he. Jesus knows that they do not understand everything that's going to happen in the next 24 hours. Some of them are going to scatter. Some of them are going to run. They're going to take and deny. They're going to leave him. He knows they don't fully understand that. But he says, I'm telling you now, so that when everything happens, you can look back on this and say, he told us before this. My faith can be stronger because of this. Even Peter's going to deny three times, and it cuts him to his heart. But it builds Peter's faith, knowing that the Lord told him ahead of time that it would happen. Our faith should increase from this very account as well. That's the whole purpose of us going through and then looking at these and looking at these little pieces in such detail and trying to see the emotion that the Lord is showing, the instruction, the attitudes that his apostles, even when they're listening or they're not listening. It's for our building of our faith. It will make us stronger. It makes us stronger when we fall. To know people as strong as Judas, strong as Peter, they fail. It gives us strength to know that even as Peter will pick himself up, we too can pick ourselves up and move on and be great servants of the Lord. Tonight, you have a moment of reflection. Whether you've never obeyed the gospel, to take this instance to do so, to become a child of God, to enter into that servitude in His kingdom. Or if you've already made that choice, to reflect on your life as that servant and see where you stand in His kingdom. Are you a faithful servant or not? If not, take this moment to fix that. Whether it's personally, fix it personally with the Lord. He's willing to hear and He's willing to forgive. If it's of a public nature, do so publicly so we can ask forgiveness for you and pray on your behalf so that we can help you. Tonight, we're happy to help in either case if you'll come forward.